like for you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to the Gospel of Luke, please. All of us are athletes of the Spirit. Those of us who have been involved in past days of our life or currently involved in any type of athletics, one of the great principles you learn is that the greater the athlete, the more unselfish he is. I've never seen a great athlete who is selfish, because he knows that if that team is really going to be a success, that he has to serve the people that he's playing with, and they in turn serve him. That's what makes for great athletes. In other words, if I were playing basketball and if I did all the shooting, or 90% of it, and I refused to pass off when some guard came along and had a better shot than I did, or some center dropped in, our team would never be a very successful team. We're athletes of the Spirit. And to be athletes of the Spirit, you have to be totally unselfish when you belong to a great team. And tonight I'd just like to share a little bit of God's Word about something that's been sort of gelling in my heart as I watch our people move in this spiritual team, in the outreach of God's Word around the world. And it's really the great joy in serving. There's nothing that pleases me more than the privilege of serving my people. Whenever I can serve people, I get real tickled about it, real happy, real joyful. I think the things that get to me many times are the mechanics of the operation of the ministry where, you know, I got to write this letter, or I got to do this, or I got to do that. And I really don't feel that that's the greatest service. But if I can really serve people writing a letter, I love to do it. I hear people say they just hate to write letters. I love to write letters. If I'm serving people. The only time I don't like to write a letter if you have to, somebody writes you a bad letter and you got to say, well, thank you for your wonderful letter you sent me, and so forth. The joy is sort of gone, see. Somebody wrote the other week that they were sorry I was ever born, those birds. That's what he wrote. And he said he couldn't help it. Well, I could have told him that. He didn't have nothing to do with my birth. And I think all of you are just like that. When you can really serve people and you know that you're serving them and you're blessing them and their lives are being enriched by what you're doing for them. You're not taking advantage of them. You're not taking anything from them. You just have the joy of serving them. It does something on the inside of you that's really beautiful. It makes you the most wonderful woman you could possibly be, the most wonderful man. You feel like walking 9 feet tall with your shoulders back or something. And this joy is sort of significant because I learned many, many years ago that the same root for joy is the same root that you have for grace. You know, the word grace, charis. The root for joy is the word kara, same root. So because of the greatness of God's grace, it's a joy to serve God's people. And there's so many records in God's Word. I looked in Young's Analytical Concordance and I finally decided if I'd cover all those beautiful scriptures, John Lynn would never have the opportunity of being on the second service. So I just put some of them in my heart and mind, which I had couched there through many years. But the record in Luke sort of intrigued me, and I thought that'd be a good place to start with the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Chapter 2. On that wonderful night when our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was born, It says in verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." It's a new experience, man. What kind of visitation is this to us? After all, we're just shepherds. We're out here taking care of our sheep. What's this happening now? If this had happened among the elite of the community, in the centralization of the political power of Rome, that could have been different. But out here to us, it's what's frightening to them. And the first thing the angel said unto them is verse 10. He said, "Fear not. Don't get shook. Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings." Now, if it never went any further, that would be tremendous, wouldn't it? To have a visitation from God. And he says two things. Number one, don't be afraid. Number two, I've got good tidings. Good tidings. Wouldn't that be great? Sounds like the foundational class for a session. Fear not. Well, it's foundational class here. Now, we're dealing here with someone whom I believe had the greatest joy of serving of any man that ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the night of his birth, the angel declared to those shepherds on the Judean hills at the moment or just at the time of his birth or slightly before it, the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Great joy." Of great joy. What a message. Humble people, willing to listen. The reason the hierarchy in Jerusalem never got to Bethlehem that night was because nobody was willing to listen. Same God would have talked to them in Jerusalem that talked to a handful of men out on the Judean hills. Same God. God's no respecter of men in Jerusalem or Judea or Bethlehem, is he? Then why only the shepherds? Because they were the only ones who would believe. And to those, he had the joy, the angel had the joy of serving the great news because of the greatest man who ever lived, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that the news was, number one, fear not, good tidings, and those good tidings are of great joy. And the word is kara, a root, after which we get the word charis, which is grace, and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that joy is always of grace. The reason you, as a spiritual athlete, have the great joy, and joy's an inside job, you know. Star Daly taught me this. He'd been a prisoner in Sing Sing. So he knew what an inside job was. Grace is something on the inside. Happiness is external. People are happy because of the multiplicity of things they may have. But you can have oodles of things and have happiness there, but lack joy. Joy is always an inside trip. It's something real fundamental and deep within. And the great record that launches this particular session I want to share with you was when the angel said, number one, fear not. The good tidings are of great joy. And if the greatness of that joy which you have by grace is there, the fears disappear. Do you recall the first night or the first time you ever sat in a little group someplace and that word of God was opened in a new way, perhaps new light to you? And it started answering some of the questions you had been asking in the innermost resources of your own private little self. And somebody was doing the word, maybe it was the class on Power for Abundant Living. And we were just beginning to unfold that word, and that word started meeting every need you had in your life. And then remember one time when you perhaps learned a little bit about body, soul, and spirit, the difference between body, soul, and spirit, the difference between form made and created. That something welled up with inside of you. You couldn't quite explain. It felt like swallowing a whole day's worth of sunshine in 1 second. And it really turned you on inside. And perhaps one time you were sitting there and you came to the realization that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Imagine. This one that this angel spoke about coming, has ascended, and sent forth something, and that same Christ, by his grace, is in you. Christ in you. What'd you feel like when you really heard that for the first time? That you're a joint heir with him. That you are God's workmanship, his masterpiece spiritually. Imagine. Just go back. Man, you were higher than a kite. Your string was gone. He just did a takeoff. And for some of you, a little later on, a few people may have gotten to you. And they said, oh, wait a minute. You're going out on the deep end of this thing. This can't be that good. There's got to be a flaw in it someplace. And you began to consider what they said, and that great joy seemed like it did an effervescence trip of some kind. And flipped out completely, It just wore itself out because you didn't drink it right at the time and keep drinking or something. When you put that thing inside for acid stomach or something. And then you sort of cooled and you lost that joy of the excitement of the greatness of the revelation of the power that you had previously. Far as the inside job God did, it was still there. What you lost is the renewed mind trip, and you didn't serve that word. You didn't have the joy of serving the greatness of what God's word really did for you, and then before you knew it, maybe you had a little trip where you weren't quite as happy with situations around as you'd been previously. The way to stay warmed up on something is stay where the fire is. That's simple. Sure. In the Gospel of Matthew, this record also regarding an incident, chapter 2. Thought this would be easy to remember too, because it's in verse 10. About a year and a half after the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, some astronomers came from the east. At the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, they had seen a very unique star in the east, which was never visible over Bethlehem the night he was born. But they had seen it there, and they had astronomically, they'd worked this stuff out, and they figured pretty well where it was to be, so they headed toward this land of Judea. They got into Jerusalem and asked the top brass there in the temple, the theologians. They said, where is this Messiah, this promised Savior that was born? Where was he born? They said, well, I ain't know nothing about nobody being born here. One would have thought they ought to know. You know, they went over to the Supreme Court. And they said, Judge Rosenberg. You, the smart man over here, where is this king that was born? He said, king? Oh, no king born around here. If they had, we'd have had him, man. Year and a half after Jesus Christ had been born, they still didn't know anything happened. Well, as these men came out, they noticed something. And verse 10 says, when they saw the star, not just a star, this was a real particular one. Perhaps it was a configuration of a number of constellations. I'll let you figure that out. All I know is that they saw, S-A-W. And when they saw it, being astronomers, and they were not astrologers, because there's a lot of difference between astrology and astronomy. Astronomy is a science. Astrology is devil spirits. So when they saw this star, they knew it was the same star that they had seen approximately a year and 7 months before in the far east. They rejoiced with exceeding what? Great joy. The word joy, again, remember it always, is always grace in its root form. These men, after the frustrations they had encountered going to the authorities, both civil and religious, there it was. All at once, they began to see that this is the same star that they had seen in the far country east, far eastern country, and then they had joy, but it was what kind of joy? Exceeding great. Exceeding great. That must have been your experience a night when you found out it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Or when you learned something else, it just effervesced and bubbled within you, where it was just so fantastic, you had to oversell it to your dad and mommy. And by that I mean you had to tell somebody. And you ran out, you told, and most likely got terribly misunderstood. Many times you most likely turned them off, because here you were just so high, and you know, they've seen you high before, but different high. And they said, well, just another kick. They say, one more. That exceeding great joy. That's right. This joy is so fantastic at times, if you don't have someone to share it with, you're just going to bust like a balloon that's punctured with a needle or a pin or something. When you have this great joy within, it's got to show on your face. It's got to be in your walk. It's got to be in your talk. It's got to be in your whole life. You just can't hold it in. That's right. Really something. Which brings me to Luke chapter 15. This is the joy of serving. And it's always grace that makes it possible for us to serve. You see, we don't do good works to get saved, but because we are saved and it's so fantastic, we do good works. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. In 15 of Luke, in verse 10 is a dandy. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that what? Repented. Joy in the presence of the angels of God over a person who repents. Just imagine the joy in heaven every time someone is won for the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone's life is changed. Someone who's been full of fear gets to the place that they no longer fear. Someone who's been out of harmony, alignment, out in left field, comes back into center field. And the right one. What a joy. What a joy. Even heaven has all joy in it like that. In verse 10. Read you that, didn't I? Well, verse 7. Likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons. Who need know what? The self-righteous gang. No joy over them. But joy over one person. You see, our God is a fantastic God. You know, if most people were God, they wouldn't have anything to do with us on the Judean hills. They might stop in the Supreme Court building with us. But our God, the God who has saved us by his grace and has given us that joy, he gets tickled to death because of one person when he's born again, repents. He is interested in people. He's interested in you. That's how we got there. If he hadn't been interested in us, we'd have never made it. That's right. You know, in Luke 24, on the day of the ascension, he led them out, verse 50, as far as Bethany, Jesus did. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? Great joy. Great joy. He had just left. You would have thought they'd have been down in the mouth and frustrated and full of fear and everything else. But no, they weren't. They remembered what he said. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Great joy, because they knew of the grace of God in Christ Jesus, what he had made available and what he was going to do. Therefore, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They'd have much rather gone to New York, because Jerusalem is where everybody knew them. You know, they're born there. They know all your shortcomings like they do mine here. I was born in New Knoxville. They know more about me than I do. See? But they went right back into Jerusalem with joy. Don't tell me you can't go back in your community with great joy. Because you're serving God. And when you serve God, there's that joy in serving. You can go any place. When you're really with God, you never have to run away. When you run away, you're not with him anyways. And all the running away will never get you away from God. Right. You go to Chicago, he's there. And with it, with you come the same problems you had when you were in Jerusalem. So you see, the place to get this joy is right where you are. And then begin ministering, begin serving the greatness of God's word to people, sharing the love of God as spiritual athletes. There's one thing you need never do in the greatness of the ministry of God's word, and that's run. All you need to do is to hold forth the word wherever you are. You don't have to run here and run there. reason I know this so well, because I used to do so stupid much running. Right. Well, I didn't know any better. Don't have to anymore. Just serve him where you are with the joy of that Christ in you which you have by grace. Acts 8. Wouldn't believe this one. It's true. Verse 6. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. People with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he, Philip, did. Did them by the power of God in him, which is grace. Unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came unto many that were possessed. Many taken with palsies that were lame were what? And there was great joy in that city. Why? Because somebody was serving. The joy of serving brings the joy to others. That whole city was turned on because Philip went down there and just served the bread of life. You know, just shared the bread with them. And the joy he had in sharing it got the signs, miracles, and wonders in operation, and then the people got joyful too. There was great joy in that city because people were being delivered. Isn't that neat? Romans 15. You can just have a great week this week if you'll take Young's Analytical. Follow through on some of the great joy. It just blesses your heart. Romans 15, listen to this one. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Isn't that beautiful? Joy and peace in believing. The joy in believing. Remember the joy you got when you believed? Here's God's word. You're sharing it with people. You believe that word and you share it, then the joy is there. The joy in believing. There's joy in believing. Nothing but headaches when you go the other way. That's for sure. And it's also significant that very closely aligned with joy is peace. And of course, you know grace, but also love. It just seems like this whole spiritual package is just so beautifully wrapped up. And sometimes the emphasis is on peace. Sometimes it's on joy. Sometimes it's on believing. Sometimes it's on long-suffering, patience. But the root is always charis, grace. Because of that grace, we have this joy. We have this peace. We are in a position of believing as spiritual athletes to bring to pass the serving of God's word to God's people. No greater joy if you're a farmer than to tell somebody about raising the word of God in your heart. If you're a president of a corporation, there's no greater joy than sharing the word of God with people, serving them that word to build them up. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2. For if I make sorrow, they make me glad, but the same which has made me sorrow of me, and I write this same unto you, lest when I come, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. A little Kentuckyish in this verse, but West Virginish. But he said, I have this confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy that all of you have. Why was he saying this? Of his service that he had rendered to the Corinthians. And he had such a good time sharing it originally with them that surely they were just living up the same joy that he had in sharing it with him, with sharing it with them previously. In Philippians, I'm getting closer to Revelation. Chapter 2. Verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be what? Right. The joy in serving is to be like-minded with God's word. Let's say you and I have a big fight on God's word, and you hold forth what you think, I hold forth what I think, we both miserable. But when you and I have talked things over and we both work the word and we know that we're right on that word because we're like-minded, then as we serve God's people, there's joy. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be what? Like-minded. Having the same joy, the same love, the same charis, being of one accord, of one mind. Well, like-minded, one accord, one mind. Three times in one verse, it'll settle it. That makes for joy. You know, when Dotsie and I are like-minded on stuff, things great. But you know, if she's right on and I'm right off all the time, it ain't good. There's not that joy there, that happiness. But boy, when you've really got it together, God's word, and you hold forth God's word, the joy in serving that thing is just indescribable. But we must have oodles of people like you across the country who would rather share God's word to lift up somebody, to serve God's word to somebody, than they would to sit down and have another piece of cake. They don't mind cake. But if it's a matter of cake or the word, they'll do the word. Well, now just think a moment. Did you ever miss supper because of a basketball practice or a game? Hoo, 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 hoo. Did you ever miss a football game just to eat supper? Not if you're a first stringer. And in the way ministry and the greatness of God's word, everybody plays first team. That's right. That's why I understand this thing. Remember, Jesus said, my meat is to do who? Father's will. Why? He'd rather do the Father's will because he was serving the bread of life, and that was the joy. Man, if you don't get this in life, you just miss out. You know, man, this whole world's a slave shop. Yeah. Roll out 6 in the morning. Go to work. Oh, Lord. And all I do all day is press that same stupid button. If you had a monkey and took him in there and set him, he could press that stupid thing. But somehow the union said, I got to do it. So I'm a unionized monkey or something. And boy, life become a drag if that was all it's to it. And that's all it's to it until you really get with the Lord and get it right on. No wonder people want to commit suicide at 39. They've had it. I'm surprised they didn't have it at 29. But boy, once you have tasted of that bread of life and that joy in serving, you know, you can press that old button, but sometimes they go let you out for coffee break. Hoo-hoo! No matter what kind of bars they put around you there. to protect you from getting your hand off of that button. You're going to have a coffee break. Yes, sir. And sometime, I'm sure they're going to allow you to go to the restroom. And somebody else is there, and when you walk out, you can just share a little of the word. Oh, people, it's the only thing that's worth it. The joy of serving people. I think maybe that's why it's more blessed to give than to receive, too. Because it's the giving, the serving of that thing that really blesses you. And it just makes you sparkle on the inside. It washes you all clean. Really neat. You know, Hebrews is sort of good. Some of you knew I'd hit this one. You just knew. Twelve 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, the right hand of the throne of God. Isn't that a fantastic thing? The cross, death, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Remember the scripture, someplace it says, we have not yet striven unto blood against sin. Now, that's not the right wording, but it's in here. What? Same chapter? Oh, why don't I read this Bible sometime? Yeah, that you have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. See? He did. Never cost me my life striving against sin. First of all, it wouldn't do you any good anyways. It wasn't good enough life to lay down for you that you get your sins all taken care of. But God, Son, always did the Father's will, always because of the joy of his service, holding forth the greatness of God's word. Walked with that love, walked with that joy, and for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. For the joy that's set before you, you can endure, press that little button in that shop and factory. You can endure going back into that little twig area where there are just three of you and holding forth the word. Why, surely you could endure anything, couldn't you? For what have we paid in comparison to what Christ paid for us? That's something. Who for the joy that was set before him. It's just beyond my comprehension. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. That's what I call serving. Boy, that's serving to the uttermost. That's like the hen who complained about having to lay so many eggs because the boss was complaining. Little old hog looked at her and he said, look, honey, you haven't given your all like I'm called on to do tomorrow morning. So. Yeah. I was thinking tonight Ted was going to sing that song of his let's all go down the river. See, I like that one. The words don't get me so excited, but the music gets me excited. The words help along a little or something. And I thought that's what he was going to do, but he came out here to do the comforter, so I had to think up a new line. But I was going to tell you about those research papers I used to do at the University of Chicago Divinity School. Some of you know about my 20-gallon Baptists and, you know, more souls made and saved. And you know about First Church of the Navalites. I got all that stuff out of the archives down at the University of Chicago. Very educational institution. So, on another occasion, at another location, they just had a raid on one of those places that had a steel that wasn't steel. They had been manufacturing. So they tried to make it steel. And they took all that good stuff and they took it down to the river and poured it in there. Yes. Oh, a terrible thing to do. Empty all those nice jugs. So that evening they had a meeting at the church. And the reverend said, "Now, any one of you have a special song from Sing Along the Way you'd like to sing?" And one of the boys stood up and says, "Yes, Pastor, I like to sing Shall We Gather at the River." You see, it has to be grace. As he wouldn't let me teach like he does. There is a record in 3 John. Verse 4. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Isn't that a beautiful record? You have served God's people as twig leaders and out there moving among your people. You have served them the truth of the bread of life, God's word. And you will not have any greater joy than to see people turn on to God's word and they walk in the same truth you walked into, the same deliverance, same glory, same power. What's it done to you? Electrified you on the inside. That's what he's talking about. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, that you have fathered spiritually by teaching them God's word. Because believing comes by hearing. It doesn't come by hearing the Reader's Digest. The word, the word, the word. And there's no greater joy that when my children walk in truth." As a spiritual athlete, it always comes back to you. You play with the winning ball club. You enjoy the serving of your teammates. The teammates enjoy serving you. You win the NCAA and you got it. Where else to go? This is just beautiful. Because you're serving God's word and you see people and then you get blessed. As a matter of fact, you get it twice. Because you serve it this way, and because they serve it, because in their walk of love, they bless you back. Well, God blesses you because you bless them, so you get it twice. They only got it once. That's 100% increase on your spiritual investment. As an athlete, that's pretty good. You see, we just have never seen the simplicity and the beauty of all the greatness of this love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts. And people strain at things, say, "Oh, I got a witness tonight. Ooh." Well, if you feel that bad for gosh, crawl under the bed. You see, you've lost the excitement. You've forgotten how turned on you were when somebody shared the word with you and it started answering questions in your life. Well, you keep yourself up there as spiritual athletes by being with those that are spiritual athletes really moving. And you keep sharing. You keep serving, and as you serve, it's served back to you. Have so many people you know, that I'm so grateful for in the way ministry. And when I hear from them by letter or if I get a chance to talk to them, today, my little Darlene Periani called me. You know, she's such a beautiful little creature and such a tender little voice, you know. I'm Darlene. when I heard she was on the phone, it just blessed my heart. Here's one of my kids, you know, one of my children calling back. I have no greater joy than to see my children walking where? I understand that verse. Oh, boy. You do too. Isn't it a wonderful ministry to be alive, to have the privilege in our time to hold forth God's word with all of its love, all of its greatness, without being adamant about it, and say, thus saith the Lord. And they say, is that right? Yeah, that's right. And they hear that word, and it starts meeting their need. Because the word said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be what? They're not going to starve to death. The moment they hear that thing, it's going to fill them. And boy, once this thing begins to happen, that joy begins to bubble in there. It gets to be an exciting life. It gets so good you hate for the day to close for fear you're going to miss something in the 2-3 hours of sleep you get. So you pretty well set your spiritual alarm clock and tell Father, look, if anything happens while I'm sleeping, he's sure wake me up. I don't miss anything. About that time, Craig comes in. So, it's McCor. That, my people, is how I feel about the joy of serving. Those are only just a few of the verses in the Word. Just imagine what this Word does for me, like tonight, too. I just pick a few. And how great I see this joy. Go through all of them, and then come back and let me pull you off the ceiling. You'll be just so full of joy, I gotta take you down. It's our life. It's the life of God in Christ in us. It's now our life. And so we share it. We serve. We serve. You never win in the opposite. You only win by the word. And to win with the word is to serve. And that's the joy. And we serve because it's graced us. Got it? Let's all do it. Father, I thank you for the beauty of your word and the simplicity of it tonight. Thank you for the joy of holding it forth and blessing your people with it. And for your great and wonderful love to us through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.